In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name is John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. You find your place in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. I remind you again and again and again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and down through verse number 4. I shall read these four verses after we pause in a moment of prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we've heard about the Lamb through the music. We know that He came into the world to redeem all mankind. We know as Creator, we see His power. As the Revelator, we see His righteousness. As the Redeemer, we see His love. Now I pray that you would help us to see Him in the light of the Scripture. In His name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 at verse number 1. What a way to begin a verse. Look at it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Encyclopedia Britannica used 20,000 words to describe the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. That's more than they used for Cicero, Aristotle, Socrates, Alexander the Great, Mohammed, and Julius Caesar combined. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. And I'm willing to confess tonight that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my sovereign, my sufficiency, my supply, my strength, my satisfaction, my security, my standard bearer, my shepherd, my sacrifice, and my substitute. I confess that Jesus Christ is my life, my Lord, my light, my love, my liberty. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer, my ruler, my reward, my righteousness, my refuge. He is the rock of my salvation. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Open the Bible, see Him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see His face. Open the Bible, trust His grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible, share God's love. Who is Jesus? I've entitled this message, Discovering the True Identity of Jesus. In the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the book of origins, the book of the beginning of all things, He's identified as the seed of the woman. When God saw the dastardly deed of the devil, of Satan, the serpent, how he beguiled Eve and deceived Adam and Eve, He said to the serpent in Genesis 3:15, don't miss this. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In that one verse, we have volumes. We have the virgin birth, seed of the woman. We have his death, bruising the head of Satan. And there's a commentary in the New Testament. By the way, the best, I have 15 at least sets of commentaries in my library, but I learned a long time ago, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And in Galatians chapter 4 at verse 4, and when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's look in the book of Deuteronomy. There he is identified as a prophet. We know his ministry is threefold, prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, he speaks for God. As priest, he offered himself a sacrifice and continues his priestly ministry at the right hand of God, even as I speak, making intercession for us. Maybe he's just saying to God, that little fellow down there with the glasses on, I know him. He trusted me a long time ago. So we know that God and the Lord Jesus Christ being together is one, and the Holy Spirit. When the children of Israel were depending on a word from Moses, he gave them this word in Deuteronomy 18:15, and listen to it. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. There is a commentary in the New Testament on that as well. We know that when the folks that were all around Jesus saw his miracles, in unison they said in John 6:14, this is of a truth that prophet that should come. In Joshua, we see him identified as the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua was facing a formidable enemy. They were outnumbered. Joshua looked up from his place in Jericho and saw a man that had a sword in his hand. That man was the pre-incarnate Christ. That was Jesus. And Joshua said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, answered in Joshua 5:14. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. In Luke, we see him identified as the Son of God. The angel Gabriel made an unusual announcement to Mary there in Nazareth. He told her, in essence, that she was going to have a son, and that that son would be the Son of the Highest. He would be great, and that God would give to him the throne of his father David, and he would rule over the house of Jacob forever. And Mary said, but wait a minute. How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, listen, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. As I was preparing this message, God gave me a little simple poem, and I want to share it with you. The Son of God is his name. The Son of God, always the same. The Son of God laid in a manger. The Son of God, the Galilean stranger. The Son of God, he reigns on high. The Son of God is ever nigh. The Son of God, see his face. The Son of God saves by his grace. The Son of God, Savior of men. The Son of God is coming again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. We go to the Gospel according to John. And there he's identified as the Lamb of God. John stood in the waters of the Jordan. He saw Jesus coming. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Aren't you glad he took away your sins? We've given all of our sins over to him. If you're here tonight and you need the Savior, I would admonish you, bring your sins and burdens to him, because he alone can wash away your sins, because he is the Lamb of God, from the foundation of the world, slain for sinners like you and like me. In the book of Acts, he's identified as the angel of God. The Apostle Paul had stood trial before King Agrippa. And there was a decision to be made. Shall we send him back to Jerusalem to face his accusers? Or shall we keep him here in Caesarea and try him? And Paul spoke up and said, Now, if I were guilty of any of those things they've accused me of, I would go and face my accusers. But, he said, now don't miss this, I appeal unto Caesar. That would be Nero, a homosexual with a dual personality. Killed his mother, his wife, his son, and then set Rome on fire and blamed it on the Christians about 64 AD. Paul was put in a ship. He advised those folks when they got to a certain island. He said, now folks, he said to the captain, we should not continue this journey. We should wait until after winter. But they did not take Paul's advice. They set sail, and before long, the wind, Euchrilon, came upon them. And it was a strong wind, and it blew the ship. And they started throwing off the tackle and all the cargo they had on the ship. And the Bible says, for many days, they did not see the sun or the stars. And they gave up hope. They thought, this is it. But Paul went to his chamber and talked to God about it. Have you talked to God lately about the problems you face? The difficulties, the heartaches. Paul talked to God about it. And he came back and said to those 275 men, 276 counting Paul, he said to them, be of good cheer. There will not be anyone lost. The ship will be, but no lives shall be lost. And how did he know that? Because in the 27th chapter, verse 23, here's what he said. Please don't miss this. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Not one will be lost. That's just like God, isn't it? He protects, he provides, he preserves, even in the darkest hour, when we are threatened with storms and problems and war and famine and pestilence and disease, whatever it might be, our God is able. In the Revelation, We see him identified as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In the 5th chapter of the Revelation, John has a vision. He sees God sitting on his throne. And in his right hand is a book. A book that is sealed with 7 seals. And John said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is able to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof?" But no man in heaven or in earth or under the earth was found worthy to open the book or loose the 7 seals or even to look upon the book. And John started weeping because there was no man able to open the book. And it had a title deed to the world, of course, for the believers. No man was able to open that book. And John wept. And one of the elders said to him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Now, the best way to discover the identity of Jesus Christ is to let Jesus speak for himself. I'm going to quote Jesus now. I love to quote Jesus. I'm going to give you the 7 I Am's of Jesus, the divine claims of our Lord. Will you listen carefully? Divine claim number 1 is found in John 6:35. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The second divine claim is found in John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The third divine claim is found in John 10:9. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." The fourth divine claim is recorded in John 10:11, where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." The fifth divine claim is found in John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." The sixth divine claim is found in John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." The seventh divine claim is recorded in John 15:1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Now in this life, in this time, in our limitations, we see him only by faith. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. One glad day our faith will become sight, and we shall see him face to face. The hymn writer said, "And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." John said in 1 John 3 at verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I close with this poem that someone wrote. Listen carefully to every word of it. "Dear Jesus, these eyes have never seen that radiant form of thine. The veil of sin hangs dark between thy blessed face and mine. I see thee not, I hear thee not, Yet art thou off with me, and earth has ne'er so dear a spot as where I meet with thee. Yet though I have not seen, and still must rest in faith alone, I love thee, dearest Lord, and will unseen, but not unknown, when death these mortal eyes shall seal, and still this throbbing heart, the rending veil shall thee reveal, all glorious as thou art. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. And I'm glad to tell you that 68 years ago, when I was a lad 11, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar. I heard an old-fashioned preacher preach from an old-fashioned book about an old-fashioned gospel, and I knelt at that old-fashioned altar, and I got an old-fashioned dose of religion. And I've never been sorry. And I'm on my way to heaven singing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore." Amen. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Heads are bowed while we stand, and I'm convinced and I understand that I've been quote-unquote preaching to the choir. But you know, sometimes the choir needs it too.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you have a prayer burden, you want to come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it, I invite you to come. If you're here tonight and you have a problem, maybe you're facing what the doctors say is a very troubled time in your health. You may be facing a debt that you cannot pay. You may be facing divorce. All of us are facing death because it's appointed unto men once to die. Whatever you may feel that you need on Jesus' birthday to come and just praise his name at the altar prayer, I invite you to come as we pray and sing. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to share today the celebration of his birth. And now, Father, as men and women will gather around the altar, some just to say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, dear God, for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the church." Whatever is in their hearts, I pray that they would pour it out on the altar tonight. In Jesus' name.